You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 236, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Whoa. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, May 13th, 2022. It's Friday the 13th.
Oh my gosh.
Also the day the Kendrick album dropping. It will have dropped by the time you're listening to this. Maybe you're not even listening to this. You're just listening to the Kendrick album.
Honestly, I hope that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Maybe you're listening to this years in the future after you've listened to the Kendrick album.
Yes, for this extremely evergreen time. Podcast that you can listen to at any time.
That's true. I mean, I don't know if that was sarcasm that I heard from my guest co-host, but... The show never goes bad. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. That's Great. It starts with the blockchain, Doge and apes and some Bitcoin. It's the end of crypto and we know it. It's the end of crypto and we know it. It's the end of crypto and we know it. And I feel kind of bad for all the people losing money, actually. I don't feel great about it. I don't feel fine. That's sad for them. And it's not their fault. It's a complicated mess. So I am thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host who you've already heard from. I'm just going to read the quote he told me to.
Oh, God. I didn't remember.
Back and all out of bubble gum, which is the only thing I do other than kick ass, which I thought was a wordy way to kind of come in, but I'm just quoting. It is the queen of me and the king of sting. It's DJ Danil Goodman.
Wow. AKA DJ Danil.eth. Yeah. Buy the dip, baby. You see a crash. I see a opportunity.
There you go.
Boom. So get your crypto here with DJ Danil.eth. Happy
to be here. Crypt keeper. He stays on it.
Can I just be honest real fast? I hate the crypto.com arena, but I loved the nickname The Crypt. What a great name for a stadium. Staples Center was already kind of like the whole, commercialization of this thing that we like for sports. Mm. And then crypto.com arena is awful. But The Crypt is a cool name. That's cool. Anyway, happy to be here.
Unfortunately, you will be sued if you call it that. You have to use the full name. I'm here at crypto.com arena. Anyways, Dana, we are thrilled to be joined in our third and eventually fourth seats by a couple New York Times best-selling dang authors. I'm the host of the extremely popular YouTube series and podcast, Just Between Us, where they try to destigmatize the world one episode at a time. It is the brilliant and talented Gabby Dunn and Allison Raskin!
Woo! Woo! Hi, hello. I'm here first, and Allison will be joining us. This is me, Gabby Dunn. Hi.
Hi, Gabby Dunn.
Hello.
How are you doing? Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What is new in your world? Are you in Los Angeles?
I'm in Los Angeles. I go sometimes to a remote cabin in New Jersey, but other than that, mostly in Los Angeles.
A great escape. Good thing to have.
Where are you? Daniel, are you in a TV?
I am. I'm currently in a television. I'm actually in space right now. This is just a fun little prank that I love to pull on Jack, is having all of my my Twitch production bullshit online so that I can do all sorts of dumb things whenever we're doing a podcast. I can turn on my
smoke.
Can turn on my many faces and just kind of like hang out and distract from what is an audio medium. This isn't doing anything for any of the listeners, but it's all for everybody here. That's what
for those of you enjoying this on an audio platform, Daniel has a setup where it looks like he's on television. And also in space.
Indeed. Maybe relative to what we're talking about later. We'll just see, won't we?
We will. On a television in the year 1984 that is also on Hollywood Boulevard.
You nailed it.
In the...
Right.
Would that be the 70s?
No, it's actually a relatively recent picture. You can see the little space, the space thing over here is a little clue as to what era it is, and that Ford Fusion right there on the bottom left. It
gives that's a little, a Ford Fusion.
Indeed. Okay. Gives you a little peek into the contemporary era in which this picture was taken. But enough about me and my background. Gabby, we are thrilled to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Man, I pride myself on being able to pick out a Ford Fusion anytime I see it in miniature. But
kind of stupid.
I look like a fucking idiot. I apologize.
We'll see if we can recover over the length of the episode.
All right, Gabby and eventually Allison, we're going to get to know you both a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things that we're talking about today. So we got a couple stories that, in addition to hosting Bad With Money, Gabby, you know, you both spend a lot of time answering questions from your listeners. So I want to talk to you both about just a couple stories, The Great Resignation, I call it. I'm sure you do, since you're young and cool as well. And if we have time, the crypto collapse. And just what you're seeing as you look at things, both, you know, trying to understand these things, but also talking to listeners. The only people I talk to are like Hollywood bigwigs like Matt Damon.
Sure.
But,
You know,
you're out there talking to the people.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. I'm the people's prince. I understand that I'm out on the streets. I'm out on the streets talking to the average citizens, the 99%. That's who I represent. Yeah, I do a podcast about money, and we talked a lot about the Great Resignation, but I liked that NPR, I think NPR called it the Great Renegotiation.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's people that don't want to work. I think it's people that are realizing that working conditions are actually incredibly unfair and are now deciding to renegotiate what it looks like to work. And if you are a business who cannot afford to pay people a living wage, then you are failing as a business. And it is not a failure of the employees. So that's getting people to understand that has been a little bit of an uphill battle.
Mm. Yes, it has. Amen. Well, we are going to talk about that in just a little bit. We are joined by Allison Raskin. Hi, Woo! Allison. Allison, you missed the very exciting introduction, but, you know, we mentioned that you're both New York Times bestselling authors, and we're thrilled to have you.
And that we answer a lot of questions, and they asked, you know, how does it, because we're such people of the people, because you and I talk to the average person so much on Just Between Us and on Bad With Money. What have we been hearing from the youth about work and the Great Resignation? And I said, we hear so much because we are on the pulse. We talk to the young people. We are basically Gen Z by association.
Yeah.
So I was saying that we've heard, you know, a lot from people that are like, well, I just have realized that I've been treated unfairly my whole life. And going into the workforce, I've seen my parents treated unfairly, and I have decided That is not acceptable to me. So that's what we were talking about. Do you have thoughts, Allison?
We are going to get to all that in Act Two. Okay. So this is still the preview.
A preview.
But that is a great preview, a great snapshot of what we're going to be hearing. Now, we have some space stuff. Daniel's a real space freak.
As you can see, coming to you from space here in my little television on Hollywood Boulevard, we're going to talk about space as I'm currently flying through it.
Yes.
We're moving on to space. We went from the ground to space.
Yes. It's
and
a real
everything
whiplash.
In between.
You guys.
A roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
But before we get to any of that, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you're up to? Gabby, you want to kick us off?
Oh, I Harry Styles GQ is one of the last things that I looked up because I'm on a gender journey. I just started testosterone. I'm trying to find a fashion inspiration that is a bit gender bending and gender fluid. And so that's one thing that's truly the last thing I Googled. TBH, honestly, is quote Harry Styles GQ end quote. Mm.
A great fit inspo.
Yeah.
My answer is embarrassing, but because I just had this book come out, I just keep Googling my own book.
Honestly, we love it.
If people are leaving reviews to see feedback. So that's my real disclosure. And then I'm currently working on my next book, which is like an examination of marriage. And so I'm also Googling a lot of divorce lawyers and financial advisors and stuff. And so very me-centric, work-centric Googling happening.
And do you see a lot of Google ads now popping up that's like, you know, sending you relationship advice books and things that suggest that they're listening in on your searches of divorce attorneys?
Oh, no. But, you know, I guess my other dirty secret is I love to look at engagement rings. So I get sent a lot of engagement ring advertisements.
What is something that you think is overrated?
I think being really busy is overrated.
Oh, yes.
People love to brag that they're so busy. And I'm like, ooh, sucks. Sucks to you.
That sucks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think having some time just to hang out and to not be busy and to take a deep breath is really wonderful.
How about you, Gabby?
I wrote down a bunch of things because I'm a hater. But my top one was having abs, which I think sounds just like hard to maintain, hard to do. I remember it was like, you know, such a thing in the like 90s and early 00s was like, you gotta be ripped. But as I got older, I realized what goes into being ripped. And it's like, you can't eat anything. You can't have any time in the day. That's all you can think about is your body and nothing else. And if you have abs, fine, good for you. That's something you like. But I just think having abs as like a metric for health is incredibly overrated. And I don't, it's not, imp- that don't impress me much, as Shania Twain once said.
Amen to that. Bringing it back to Harry Styles.
Yeah, honestly, people with men with abs and women with abs are like in superhero movies. And you're like, wow, good for you. But like that, and then I think Hollywood is like, that's who you want to, can I say a bad word?
Yes, of course. Yes,
that's who you want to fuck. And it's like, that's not actually who you want to fuck. But right. Thank you for showing this to us.
And nobody fucks them in the movies.
Nobody fucks
them. They're completely
sexless
movies. The camera doesn't even want to fuck them. They're just, you know, vaguely hot people who seem completely asexual.
It's completely, beauty standards are completely disconnected from who's actually having sex. And that's my thesis. And I'm running for president.
You have my vote 100%.
Thank you so much.
Well, both of those overrated also seem to be in conjunction. It's like, have some time for your leisure because we don't necessarily care about having abs anymore. It's like, oh my God, I don't have to spend my one waking hour going to the gym to work on my abs. I can hang out and maybe explore space.
I just remembered like hearing especially the honesty that comes with it now, like when like Kumail Nanjiani was like, oh, I did nothing else but get these abs and it sucked. And I'm like, exactly.
So funny. I almost picked diets as my answer for this as something overrated.
Over it.
Yeah. Over it. Just starve yourself to the point where you have no energy and then, but you have abs. And so like, as you're nodding off, you can look down and like see your cool
and abs doesn't even mean healthy. I don't know what, we got all screwed up in the early OOs.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah.
I think there was a episode of the Doughboys podcast where they had Chris, what, not Pine. What's the Chris?
Evan. Oh, Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, Dan, you're a Doughboys listener.
Doughboys aficionado over here.
And when Chris Pratt came on, wasn't he kind of honest about how awful it is to.
It sucked. All he wanted to do was eat like the other food that he wanted to eat and was just like, nope, can't do that.
Yeah.
Have to just look hot for, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. No fun. Right. No fun.
I think honestly, because I'm on my way to male beauty standards, I'm maybe getting out ahead of it. I'm like in a
give
year.
Give up on the abs immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Like in a year, whatever. I'll like have been on testosterone for a year and I'll be like, abs suck, right guys? Like I've been singing that tune for a year.
You're out
you want to make sure the male beauty standards are ready when you arrive.
When I get there, like I'm just place. At the water cooler going like, you know what we hate? Abs, right? Right, ladies?
What's something you think is underrated?
My answer is asking for help.
Okay.
I love to ask for help. I do it all the time. And I think people are so uncomfortable doing it or view it as a weakness. And I'm like, oh man, just ask for help. I'm recovering from pretty major knee surgery. And I've had to have people help me a lot along the way. And when I landed in New York, I landed in LaGuardia during my book tour. And my mom was traveling with me, which was so nice. And she was like, you know what? We should just get you a wheelchair for here because this airport's too big. And I was like, I felt like kind of bad about it. I was like, well, I could technically I could technically walk it. I could technically, you know, and she was like, just get the wheelchair. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I've seen you. I think you definitely could use the wheelchair for sure. You're still limping. You're still limping. Like, you don't have to push yourself if you're still limping, Allison.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's just like, it's lovely. And also allowing people the opportunity to help you. You know, like when I find out that like friends or loved ones have gone through something and like not asked me for help when I could have maybe done something, I feel sad. I love when people ask me to help out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's. I agree. That is the secret to like a lot of people who I've known like my whole adult life, and they're very successful. And the thing that they seem to be really good at is just being like, oh, I'm not afraid at all to ask, you know, a company, a person, whatever it is. I'm just like, yeah, this, like most people will say yes. And then there's also this dynamic where I think it was like Benjamin Franklin talked about it, where by asking someone to do you a favor, they are more likely to like you in the long run, which sounds like a weird, like, you know,
some weird friendship
game. How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like Dale Carnegie bullshit. But it also, I think it reveals something about what you were saying, that like people do like to help if you give them a chance to. So
it also like weirdly builds intimacy, you know, to like be there for someone. It kind of strengthens your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Gabby? What is something you think is underrated?
Joy. And here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. I've got it. I got a rant ready.
Oh, boy. Gabby loves to have a big lead in to whatever they say.
I'm so ready for this one.
Be the answer.
Joy is the wave. No,
on our podcast together that me and Allison do just between us, I call it Conspiracy Corner, where I'm like, get ready for Conspiracy Corner. And then I gear up with whatever conspiracy I want to talk about for 10 minutes while Allison just nods. So I'm not going to do that to you guys. But two friends of mine wrote a movie called Crush that's on Hulu. It's a movie that is just pure queer joy. It's just a lovely film, right? And the New York Times person reviewed it. And I don't know her sexuality, but I'm going to, I went a little bit crazy and I looked into her and I think she is straight. And the point that I want to make is that I took a lot of issue with the review of the film because of one word in it, which is flimsy. She calls the film flimsy. Mm. Now, to me, let's zoom out. To call a film that is full of happiness and joy and love flimsy sucks to me. And to especially at a time when queer youth are so under attack, when trans kids are so under attack, when anti-LGBT legislation towards kids is so heightened and so in the news, even if it doesn't get passed, it still creates an environment where queer kids believe that they are less than because the government is even considering this stuff, because the news covers like trans swimmer and what does this mean and whatever. To like not have the context of the political situation right now, of the daily zeitgeist, as it were, to call a film like that flimsy is at best irresponsible, at worst homophobic. Thank you.
Bam.
Hear, hear.
And now everybody listening needs to go watch Crush. That sounds that
go watch
sounds
Crush great. On Hulu.
More than that, make more queer movies that are joyful. Make more, in general, movies about young people that are joyful. Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw so much pushback about like Lost City, where even people who like really loved it are like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not a good movie, but I loved it. And I was like, no, if you loved it, it was a good movie.
Thank you.
It's not that like, yeah, maybe it's not tackling like world hunger and like horrible sadness, but it is very hard to create something that people enjoy.
Correct.
And so if someone enjoys it, then it is well done. It might just be a different genre than what we nominate for the Oscars.
100%. Yeah. You can have fun at the movies and it doesn't have to be like, I just think like where I'm over trauma porn.
Yeah, I think
feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a skill to make something that makes you happy. Like it's correct. Not like, oh, I didn't try at all and I just made a 2-hour film that everyone giggled at and loved and felt happy during, but oh, that's a piece of trash. Like it's
correct.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the Oscars do with Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is
100%
very interesting.
Universally beloved, critically acclaimed. It does not is a shot of joy, just like adrenaline and joy, like to the heart. And also it makes you cry. But I do wonder if the Oscars will be able to make room for that in their cold, shriveled heart.
Yeah. Talk overrated, like, the Oscars. But this comes from an Oscars gay. I love the Oscars.
Right.
Everything I love is attacked. I'm a Disney gay. I'm an Oscars gay. And everything is just ruined. So...
Hey, worth fighting for.
I thought you were just about to say, and this comes from an Academy Award winner.
That would
I was
be amazing.
Feel very
I won,
bad.
I won for Conspiracy Corner, actually.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, best original documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Loved it.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And there was a story, I think, late last week about the fact that the great resignation is getting older. I still feel like, and this is why I'm so thrilled to have you both here to talk to us about this, I still feel like there's a lot of guesswork going on. I don't know if it's intentional obfuscation by the media, because the facts are pretty straightforward that companies don't pay people enough, and that's not the narrative they want to tell, you know, that like we've gotten to a place where corporations have so much power that they can just raise prices and leave pay like at a unsustainable, like unlivable wage. But it does still seem like a lot of guessing. So what we have now is that between the first quarter of 2021 and 2022, the greatest growth in resignations was among people aged 40 to 60 and those with a tenure or more than 10 years, with over 1,000 employees being sampled. So older and more tenured people, especially likely to be quitting in knowledge worker industries like finance and tech. So that adds a new wrinkle that I don't think I had fit into my model necessarily, because I thought it was more young people who are, you know, working in these industries that just had stagnant wages. But it does feel like it is kind of becoming an across the board fuck it, like for all generations and all types of workers. But yeah, Gabby, it was great to hear you talk about sort of what you've seen from your listeners and from your Bad with Money shows. But yeah, just curious to kind of get you guys' thoughts on this story.
Well, one of the things I think was interesting that article touched on was that, you know, for that age group, it's different to leave work because you have maybe more of a security net. You've maybe had more money saved up from having worked for decades. And then also you might be married, and so you can rely on your partner's income. So it's not like as necessarily scary or risky to leave these jobs that maybe you've had as part of your identity for so long. And that's what's really interesting, right? Is that for so many people, especially older people, like your job is your identity. It's who you are. It's the way that you see the world. And for people to be taking these risks to leave those jobs, I think really speaks to probably how horrible the job was in the first place, you know, and that the pandemic, I think, has really provided this opportunity for people to reassess what matters to them and what kind of life they want to live, you know, for the rest of however much time we all have. And I'm hoping that it will start some larger conversations around work-life balance and how to engage in the world as a full person and not just an employee. But there's still a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between obviously like 60-year-olds and 40-year-olds. And what stuck out to me was the 40-year-olds, because I think Gen X in particular is incredibly erased. We don't talk about how we talk about how millennials were sold an American dream, but Gen X was sold an American dream with even like less stability, I think, than millennials. And they were millennials were like going to the workforce, whereas I think Gen X was more promised like buy a house, have a family. And those are some people that I think are now like, my wages haven't changed since like the 90s. And now realizing that maybe that these older groups are influenced by what they're seeing from Gen Z, which is like, hey, politically, this doesn't make sense. And you're now not able to afford your mortgage. And now you're not able to, you know, have as the children that you want to have or send those kids to college. So I oftentimes in my research, you know, we talk a lot about millennials. We talk a lot about boomers. And I think Gen X got a real short end of the stick in terms of what sort of reality and future they were told to have. So and I think they're the group that, like, I think of the movie Office Space, like they're the group that was sort of, you go in, your boss sucks, like you get your, you know, your coffee, your boss is going to be shit to you. There's the fantasy that you leave and you steal money and all that stuff. But that's like, that being seen as a fantasy for that age group is like sad.
Right. Yeah. They never figured out how to round that penny down and make billions of dollars. Yeah. I think sometimes, like, what we're talking about with a lot of this is that, Miles, who the normal co-host of the show out today, but put this story together, was saying that, you know, there's probably some psychological things with them knowing, you know, with the pandemic, them just statistically knowing more people who have been gotten very sick or died from the pandemic. So that probably puts you in more of a midlife crisis zone. Mm-hmm. But just what those industries, what working in finance like does to your soul, like that's something that I had noticed among the, I talk on here a lot about how a lot of the smartest people that I went to high school and college with went into finance right away. And like, that's a bummer to me because that's not actually adding much real value back into the world or adding that much joy into the world. But I know also a lot of people who were then like, I'm going to just quit and go become a teacher because I fucking hate this. I hate my life. And then you compound on top of that the, you know, loneliness epidemic that we have, like at least partially because of social media. And I feel like there's just sort of this boiling point of fuck it that we're seeing kind of across the board.
You don't want to make money for a boss that is just you watch getting rich, right? Finance and tech are places where you're the middleman and you're making money for a boss that you know is a billionaire.
Right.
And that must suck. Also, I know a lot of people, just I started my podcast Bad With Money not knowing really anything about money. And now it's on about like season 10 or 11. And I've been consistently shocked over the years by how little finance people actually do.
Right.
Like, they're not, you think of them as these brilliant people that must be doing something to keep the economy going. And a lot of what their job is just clicking a button every so often.
Right.
And I don't think they want us to know that. But the amount of what a hedge fund manager does is little to nothing. Like a day trader, little to nothing, I think. So it's kind of wild to, maybe they go into these spaces where that are so optimistic. Tech, oh my God, we're going to change the world. We're Theranos, whatever. And then it's so easy to get disillusioned.
We are all Theranos.
We are all Theranos.
But it's also really hard because these jobs that do give back, like teachers, are not able to make a living wage.
Yeah.
You know? So then it's like, okay, I do want to give back. I do want to be a productive part of society. But then you're not rewarded for it. And then you're just struggling financially, which has like a huge emotional impact.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's kind of a lose-lose in a lot of ways with these different industries.
And I think this ties into the crypto plunge and just maybe it only ties in because this is the only time I read about like finance is when crypto's plunging. And I'm like, so what are they saying about it now? Because the stuff that I can understand about it that isn't, you know, in all this code is basically like, well, there's not really anything there. There's no there. So there's nothing of value that is being traded. It's just kind of the idea of it. And so I always want to go look and see like, what are they saying that too? Like there's this Forbes writer whose bio is, I write about how Bitcoin, crypto, and blockchain can change the world. And so I've enjoyed reading their account of what's happening, and I couldn't understand almost any of it. But
I've been deep in this. I've been deep, deep in this, you guys. If you want more information about what's going on, there is a great YouTube video. I was going to recommend this at the end, but it's called The Line Goes Up. And
yeah.
It's by Dan Olson, Folding Ideas. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes long. It is worth every second. He is incredible. And I'm actually going to have him on as a guest on Bad With Money. The video has 7 million views.
Yeah.
It did gangbusters. It explains everything in such a great way. I've watched it twice. It is my Lord of the Rings. It explains everything in a way that, like, you're not going to understand 100% of it, but you're going to, it just explains everything in a way that is accessible. And, you know, I've had this struggle where I also interviewed someone for my show who is an NFT artist. Mm. And, you know, she's a trans woman. I'm a trans masculine person. And a lot of the interview was about her inability to break into the world of fine art as someone who isn't the child of fine artists in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the way that she's able to sell digital art like a Sotheby's, like a Christie's, through what they call OpenSea. And so it's a way, in her mind, of democratizing the fine art world. That is the only NFT situation that has lightly convinced me that this might be something. Because I do like she was talking about selling fine art in NFTs that you can then print. You own the, you can print it on a 3D printer, or you can own it in the digital space, which again, to me, like, then you get to the thing about dead links, or you're not, you know, where does it actually live? Mm. Are you paying just to be able to print something out? So, like, I got it in that regard. But I also know that that's, again, like the fine art world. It's not anything new. It's mimicking a world we already have. The fine art world then eventually becomes a few people make $1 jillion and everyone else is like trying to show their art in like a small gallery.
Right.
So it creates this false idea that you could become like Jackson Pollock, Banksy, like
right.
You could become Georgia O'Keeffe, whatever. You could become a famous NFT artist shown in NFT galleries, but that's only a few people. And one aspect that I enjoyed hearing from her was talking about how I was like, why are there so many trans people in the space? And she was saying, because you're able to control your image. You're able to control your perspective and what people see of you in the digital space more so than you can in reality. That being said, that's a very emotional tie to something where they can scam you, fraud
right.
you.
Right.
That is an incredible, like, a lot of it sounds very similar to MLMs. It comes at you
really
saying,
does.
Don't you want to be a better person? Don't you want to be the person you always dreamed of? And that works for maybe three people.
Right. And they have a lot of the, you know, tactics of MLMs of, you know, the greeting each other in the morning with
yep.
a good morning, and anybody who says something negative or is swayed to divest is called, you know, names. They have names for them, just like
Bud.
Scientology has names for, like, squirrels is what they call people who, like, bail on Scientology. So, yeah, it does feel like a straightforward translation. I was going to theorize that it is taking some of the energy we should be devoting towards, you know, like, there is a part of this Forbes article where the author mentions that Apple, like, all tech stock is down, including Apple. And now Apple is no longer the most valuable company. And it's Saudi Aramco is now the most valuable company in the world. Mm. So we're back to an oil company being the most
yep.
valuable company in the world. And I feel like maybe a lot of this is taking the energy that the revolutionary energy we should be devoting towards, like, finding a way to build a world that is not constructed out of fossil fuel, and, you know, instead just putting that towards a hollow, basically just building an entire other economy that has all the same problems. But I also think there was this massive like MLM thing that was happening as, you know, people became lonelier and had fewer spiritual outlets. And it has adopted a lot of that. It has like kind of just learned from that and swallowed it and digested it.
Yeah. A lot of it is truly about making friends.
Yeah.
What club are you a part of? What Discord are you a part of?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of cults, honestly, and a lot of like false ideas are really about making friends. And I know I bring this up a lot on our show, but the Flat Earth documentary on Netflix, what I took away from it is truly like if these people just had friends, if they have this idea of the Flat Earth that keeps them together as friends. And if they just admitted that they just wanted a group of friends, they wouldn't need to believe in Flat Earth. And that's what all of this research that I've done on cryptocurrency has brought me to is that they just want something to center their friendship around. It's like me and my friends in Drag Race. Like you just need something to center your friendship around. And this happens to be one in which you can lose a lot of money.
Right.
I think like my relationship to crypto was, you know, I try to be open-minded about things and I try to accept that like my initial instinct about something could very well be wrong, that I could not understand it, that there's maybe a lot of things missing. And so, you know, with crypto, I was like, I don't get it. Like, this doesn't seem needed or real. And like, but I tried to like allow for the fact that I was wrong, you know, like how like at first with TikTok, I was like, well, this seems silly, but now it's huge, you know. But like the more that I'm learning and the more people I talk to, the more I'm sort of like, no, maybe this is really not anything like that. This we might be falling for something that ultimately isn't even what it pretends to be because it's not decentralized.
No,
like, it's just getting more and more centralized. So what hole is it filling, especially when it's tied to the value of currency?
Yeah, it's a good idea, but I think we... I think everyone got really angry at the banks after the financial crisis, which Dan Olson talks about. And then part of it, watching that whole video, I was like, I think maybe the Matrix did this to us. Like, I think we all somehow believed that we were smarter than we are. And we wanted to be the people who are outside the Matrix. Mm. And everyone wants to believe that they have... They're onto something, that they're existing outside of current society. You want to be the hacker. You want to be the guy. You want to be Neo. Yeah. And you just can't.
Right. I think I think there's an underrated big part of people that don't want to admit that they are one of 7 billion people on the planet.
And they want to be special.
They want to be special. Yeah. And then community, like the fact that community is just gone, like from it. And so everybody's having to form their own communities. And I think that's a great analysis. But this is one of the things.
I mean, it's interesting. Like this woman that I spoke to, she was able to sell profile pictures and paid for a lot of her gender confirmation surgeries. And I was like, I can't not get behind that. Right. But like, it was sort of like getting into it with her about like, how is that different from crowdfunding?
Right.
Right.
And it was because, well, I'm selling these profile pictures. And I'm like, yes. But also if you crowdfund, you send out posters, you send out mugs, you know? So I don't know. I feel like it's this idea that we're all going to end up in pods one day and you're going to wish you had digital money rather than paper money.
Right.
And maybe we will. Maybe we'll end up in pods and I'll be a poor pod person. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be okay with that. I'm going to be okay with being a poor pod person.
I'm going to bury gold in my backyard.
There you go. We'll have a VR mask at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
If I can go back to your question about the question about this being a good idea or not. I'm wondering, you know, is there a value that you see to the blockchain in general outside of it being attached to cryptocurrency or NFTs? Is there like a value there that you see moving forward in the future, whether it be for, I don't know, like security, you know, I see contracts and like, you know, information being stored on the blockchain. Do you see that as a good idea? Is that the value that we need to be moving towards outside of the art, quote unquote, art aspect of it?
It's hard because everything is owned by somebody.
Right.
So like, I get it, but also this move to put all of your information, like medical records and passwords and whatever into a little area for yourself, that still has to be stored somewhere. I know a bit about tech, but I'm not like a huge, I set up the Wi-Fi router in my house. You know what I mean? Like I,
totally.
I can make your Bluetooth work, whatever. Okay. But like,
okay. I mean, I'm
I set up the VCR in my neighbor's house, not to brag.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Thank you so much. So I'm just working with dated tech. No. so like from my understanding, people are mad at governments. They don't trust governments. But anything can be not even hacked, but just like taken. Like right. Anything can just be, if you don't remember your own wallet code, goodbye.
Yeah,
there's no right. one, there's no consumer protection. But with having no consumer protection, there's also no government intervention, allegedly. So right. It's like, that's what you're trading. But then you end up with people who are like, I'm locked out of my wallet, which has like $100 million in it. Oh, right. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the people that are rich are getting richer. It's not like, yeah. You know, it's the Winklevoss twins. It's people that whatever, I can't remember his name, but like, you know, it's Elon Musk. It's the people that are like
Peter Thiel. Yeah.
Peter Thiel. Right. It's like these people that would already have money. And then I wonder, I don't know, I get real scared of like a Minority Report situation or something where they're like, well, we read on your chart that you are likely to do this, so now you're arrested. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm very right. paranoid. Welcome to Conspiracy Corner.
Wow. The song is infectious. Yeah. One of the things, this is a new low for the crypto market as far as I can tell, is that one of the wallets is basically saying that they have the right to use the money that is parked there as their own assets when they're like negotiating bankruptcy, I think.
That's just a bank. That's what banks do.
Yeah.
But they're right. It's like a step beyond that. I was reading on it and they were like, if Schwab came out one day and said, if we go bankrupt, your personal assets will be subject to the bankruptcy settlement, they'd lose all their assets overnight. So I think that's a bridge further than even like normal banks can take it. So
yeah, they said that like right, like your money is our money if we
yeah
need
your money's essentially ours.
Like
yeah,
what?
Which banks can do in some circumstances, but I don't think if they are called on it, if there's like a bankruptcy situation, they can be like, yes, like you don't have your money anymore. We do now. I think it's still staked to something, which apparently is not the case with.
And to create more money, it's huge rigs. It's huge energy. It's right. The usage of a lot of energy, and more so than I think like some small countries I've heard. Look, I'm also open. I'm open to being proved wrong. I'm open to somebody coming up with an incredible decentralized currency that exists in a digital space. Like I'm open to it. Like I don't want any. The problem is that I'm open to all this tech, but also I don't want anyone to know anything about me.
Yeah.
So we have right. like.
You say as a public figure.
I know, but I got really like I drove into a parking garage and the guy at the garage was like, can you open your trunk? And I was like, I don't have to do shit for you. And like my partner was like, there's nothing in the trunk, Gabby. Just open the trunk. Like it doesn't matter. And I was like, no, it's the principle of the thing. I can park here. I don't need to show you what's in my trunk. You don't get to do that. And I was and then my partner was like, we can't park here unless he looks in the trunk. He's like giving us a hard time. And I was like, well, that's my Fourth Amendment right. Show me a warrant, bitch. I'm not fucking opening my trunk for you. And wow. Then I go online and I'm like, I'm from here and I live here and here's my mom. Yeah. So like, I have real problems.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days. but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and Daniel.
Wow,
it's black hole time.
Oh, sensational!
Well, so I think you've come on as a guest host before and talked space stuff. So you're a real space cadet. You're a real space boy.
I think space cadet is good because that's what my parents and my girlfriend call me, and I think it's more related to anyway. But the point is, I do love space. I love how close we're getting to seeing so much more of the bounds of our perception. I love how widely those are being expanded. I love that we're replacing the Hubble with the James Webb telescope. That is so exciting. And each of these like new discoveries into what is outside of our world is always fascinating to me. And I love to bring it onto the podcast. And as you mentioned last time, yes, last time it was the launch of the James Webb telescope. And now we are looking at the first supermassive black hole. It's at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Why is this important? Well, I've provided the very top of the article, which tells us exactly why this is important. This provides overwhelming evidence that the object is indeed a black hole and yields valuable clues about the working of such giants, which are thought to reside at the center of most galaxies. Now, this image, as you correctly noted, Jack, looks like a picture you'd take at a rock concert when you're a few drinks deep. And yes, totally. It's a little bit shaky and it's a little bit, what the hell are we looking at? And I refer you back to the actual very first picture that we got of a supermassive black hole with this wonderful picture of Dr. Katie Bauman with the mountains of data that were put together to kind of produce this image, as it were. Because, you know, what we're looking at is not as much a picture as it is a collection of data points that indicate to us kind of the light moving around this supermassive, you know, void of light in space, and kind of giving us a clearer picture of how that light interacts with the black hole and what that means for how bodies move around this piece in our galaxy. And so, you know, as another update to this wonderful, you know, space world that we're exploring more and more, this was another step in that direction. And since we're only about 3 to 4 weeks out from the very first pictures from the James Webb telescope, I wanted to add another thing to look forward to as we are also looking forward to the end of our civilization as a whole. But man, we're going to learn a lot about space before we get there. So another step in that direction.
What will the pictures from the James Webb telescope, will they also look like a picture where I'm going back through my pictures from 10 years ago and I'm like, what happened here? Oh, it was the camera, the phone was in my pocket and the flash went off, is that what we're looking at, or is James Webb going to be like the wild space clouds and the shit that looks, you know, mind-blowing?
the latter. I think we're looking more at wild space pictures. I think we'll be able to see a little bit of both. Like, we'll see some super, super deep stuff out in space that will probably look more like this supermassive black hole. But if you're familiar with some of, like, the Horsehead Nebula pictures that came from the Hubble telescope, and that first, you know, the picture that is just, it looks like a sea of stars. We'll get to see more pictures like that, and these really kind of super crisp images of space that, you know, will decorate the backgrounds of nerds on their computers for decades to come.
Not if I mint it as an NFT first.
Thank you.
You got me.
About to go do that shit.
Can I ask a question? Like,
yeah.
And I mean this with full sincerity. Why do you care about space?
That is a great question. I think, I mean, so partially as a sci-fi nerd, I'm always looking for other things. Like, I love the idea of aliens. I love the idea of other beings. I love the potential of civilizations that are so, you know, decades in, or I mean, you know, eons ahead of us in terms of technology or existence in general. I believe if we're going to go into it in my conspiracy corner, I am very deep into the idea of the Star Trek picture of the universe in which there is the prime directive, and the prime directive being you're not messing with the civilization until they develop the technology to come and find you. And each of these discoveries, each of these, you know, advancements in technology, I think gets us closer to that point where the walls will come down, the ships will reveal themselves, and they'll be like, all right, gang, you did it. You actually managed to get off your planet in a way that would allow you to explore the universe in a way. Welcome to the Federation, and let's fix all of these problems that you're having on your planet, because you guys were so close to fucking it up.
I know.
Yeah.
Because that makes so much sense to me, because aliens are incredibly appealing to me, and other life forms that are sentient is very appealing to me, but I feel like just stars or like empty space, or, you know, that is like a little harder for me to get on board with as like a fascination.
Totally. I mean, it's like, you know, look, pretty lights out in space, and we have clearer pictures of them. And sure, that is definitely very cool. And, you know, learning more about the weights of stars and, you know, the, you know, what's around them and exoplanets and all that stuff is very cool. But just getting closer to seeing other beings out there is just, oh man, is that so fascinating to me. It's like that, you know, there's a very funny meme right now that's like, too, like, born too late to own a house and born too early to become a TikTok star. Thankfully, we are all born in a time that we'll be able to see really, really far out into space. And that thrills me. So I'm all about it. I love this kind of
stuff. Allison loves aliens.
Aliens are
tight. I love aliens too.
Aliens,
I love aliens.
I think, And I think given everything we know about aliens, but it does seem like they've made contact but are just laying low and could destroy us at any moment and have chosen not to. And all of that leads me to believe that the prime directive thing is probably, unless they're just like waiting until like the right time to destroy us, but we're fucking up like all our natural resources, so it seems weird that they would wait. So,
there's no value in that. There's no value in seeing our planet and being like, what can we reap from this ball of quickly depleting resources? Anyway, Allison, you were about to say something.
What's your proof that they have been in touch? I'd love to know.
I don't necessarily think they've been in touch, like that the government is in like active contact. I just think the sightings are pretty impressive, and
I agree.
There is that documentary, like Phenomenon, or no, that's the
Phenomenon is the movie with John Travolta. Yeah.
Wait, is that not a documentary? I thought that was a documentary.
It's a documentary to some. It's a documentary to some.
But there is some documentary that just like does a good job of like highlighting any encounter that happened with like a pretty reputable source, and so they have like a lot of Air Force pilots, just commercial pilots, like from, you know, the 40s onward, basically. And it seems like there was a lot of activity around World War II, which leads me to believe they're just like coming to make sure that things don't get to the point where our species goes extinct. And then they seem to be very interested in any nuclear weapons facilities, which, you know, just based on like any like highly sourced sighting of some sort of technology that people can't explain. So that all just leads me to believe that they are just monitoring our military, which also makes it make sense that the military is so intent on a cover-up, because if there is this peaceful, super advanced, you know, civilization that's like just there and not trying to destroy us, then it kind of fucks up their whole worldview that like, wow, it's just kill or be killed. We have to like be ready to like fight at all times and like spend all the money on defense spending. And it's like, well, they seem like they're doing okay. They could destroy us at any time, but like they're maybe this is not the way of the future is my thinking around it. But I don't know. What is your thinking?
Well, I definitely do believe that there have been like some significant sightings. And when I was a freshman in high school, we were allowed to write a research paper about anything that we wanted. And I wrote a 90-page research paper about Roswell.
Your teacher was so pissed.
No, she was into it, I think.
90 pages.
But if I were to go into, that was required. It wasn't just that I went wild. Okay. Yeah. It had to be that long. My conspiracy corner is that I think that there already have been probably aliens and stuff on this planet, and that when we question it, it's so easy for the government to just say, no, that's from the deep ocean.
Right.
Because we would believe that anything is from the deep ocean. Because, have you seen what's from the deep ocean? It just looks like aliens.
Wild shit.
Wild stuff.
Wild
but
shit.
As soon as people are like, no, that's just from the ocean. Everyone's like, oh, okay. Da, 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 da.
Well, that explains that.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I don't know how good they would be at actually if they actually fully knew. I don't think they could necessarily keep it a secret unless it was like a section like Men in Black where they're not really part of the government. Yeah. It's its own thing.
The American government
is not. I don't think interacting with aliens.
Yeah. Do you think we'll be able to date aliens?
It depends.
Wouldn't that be sick?
It'd be so cool.
That would be wonderful.
That's true. He does.
So I think it's just like, what level of intelligence do you know? Like you really need to be able to connect emotionally.
Right. Like,
very true.
Physically, they could, but the aliens are like, no. We're not.
The aliens are like, honestly, you all are uggos. A nose in the middle of your face, disgusting.
What is that about?
Dan, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Just another update. Let me tell you something. In about a month, or I think it's June 22nd, when we start getting pictures back from the James Webb, I will be sending in pics.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that. So we'll talk
about Yes.
Gabby Allison,
thank you.
Such a pleasure having you both on the show. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I'm on Instagram at Gabby Road, GABYROAD. We also have our podcast together, Just Between Us podcast. And I do a show called Bad With Money that is about money, but also kind of as unhinged as this was. go for it, Allison.
Yeah, then I'm at Allison Raskin on socials, but I also have a mental health focused Instagram account at Emotional Support Lady. And I also have a Substack by the same name. And then my book, Overthinking About You, Navigating Romantic Relationships When You Have Anxiety, OCD, and or Depression, just came out last week. So I'd love for people to check that out.
Go get it.
Hell yeah.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I saw the funniest tweet yesterday that a police dog bit a police officer for being the aggressor.
Calling balls and strikes, you know?
Yeah, that brought me joy.
Love that.
I'm again going to recommend The Line Goes Up by Dan Olson. It's an incredible 2.5 hour video that flies by. And I might watch it a third time. So, and his channel Folding Ideas is great.
Yeah, really good. Daniel, how about you? Where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me all over the internet at DJ_Daniel. That's at Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, regrettably. And my one piece of social media that I just wanted to share because it gives me the giggles is a post on actually Instagram from Goop, who is introducing the diaper. the $10 diaper. I'm just going to read this post. The accent is over the E in diaper, so I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Is it diaper? Either way.
Diaper.
I appreciate that. Our new disposable diaper, lined with virgin alpaca wool and fastened with amber gemstones, known for their ancient emotional cleansing properties. Infused with a scent of jasmine and bergamot for a revitalized baby. Dropping tomorrow, today, or yesterday, at 11 a.m. EST, $120 for a pack of 12.
I thought it was for an adult person, and I was excited.
It is, that would be sick. I mean, I might actually consider it at that point. But to, you know, if my understanding is correct, and Jack, I think you'd be a better source than this, babies kind of blast through diapers, don't they?
How do you mean, Daniel?
Well, you know, like, with what the...
Go through diapers fairly quickly.
Yeah, and I feel like...
there's also washable diapers. I have two babies.
Oh, wow.
Well, one is six and would not appreciate me referring to him as a baby.
Well, ask him his opinion on these diapers.
Yeah. I think, so I think they're probably washable diapers, right?
No, they're disposable.
Our new disposable diaper
lined with virgin alpaca wool. $10
I would cut the gemstones off and then just start collecting those.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Also, absolutely. Make a little necklace.
The idea that a baby needs to be rejuvenated, it just became alive.
Exactly. it is purely rejuvenated at this very moment. There's no about
it. It needs to be refreshed. It's fine. It's very fresh.
Yes. It didn't just come off a 9-to-5. It is... Yeah. Fresh.
Is anyway. Virgin alpaca wool mean?
I don't know.
Like,
man.
Means it hasn't been dyed, I think. Yeah, okay. It hasn't been dyed.
Okay, that's good. I thought that was a weird.
Okay, phew, thank God.
I really thought that you meant diapers for adults, and I was really into it for a second.
No, unfortunately not. Because then I would gladly show off my goop diaper, but alas, no, not for everybody.
I was going to say, Gabby, you don't have too much of a butt. Maybe you can fit in one.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to shimmy it up my little body.
Wonderful.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. We'll go Miles of Gray.
Ooh.
Because I miss him. Most of the unmasked passengers on my flight are the ultra elderly. I get it. Exo tour life and whatnot. All my friends are dead.
Love that.
Yeah. And then Jason Chevron tweeted, "You're telling me this coin was a bit?" And I guess we are. I guess it was a bit. Turns out. Good.
Wow.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. DJ Daniel, do you?
I certainly do. A new song by a good friend of mine, an artist named Prom Night, a producer out of Los Angeles. He just put out a new EP with Anjuna Beats. The album or the EP is two songs, Absolute and Misha's Peak, and they're both really, really enjoyable listening experiences. Check them out on your local distro, wherever you get your music. Prom Night, spelled PROMNITE.
Yeah. Or you can listen to the new Kendrick album.
Or you can listen to... Oh, that's right. It's Friday. Yeah. Shoot. Oh, man. I really... Oh, gosh.
Why do you hate Kendrick Lamar so much? Kendrick's so pissed at you right now.
He's listening to this and typing up right now.
He's going to throw you in a swimming
DJ
pool.
DJ Dim. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That'll do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.